So this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, as we're going to just continue our journey through this letter that Peter is writing. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's just read verses 8 through 12 together. Peter writes this. He says, "Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to live, to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us now. You would open our hearts to hear from you. We thank you for your words to us, and your words are the ones that we need to hear more than anything this morning. And so, Lord, help us to hear, help us to listen, and to be obedient. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I guess it was in August or early August, late July. Kristen and I think you heard about some of it. We got away on a little few nights of camping, and we went across northern Pennsylvania. We got up to, we stopped in at Harry and Dolores Smith's cabin and got to see the beautiful view from where they live, and got a ride up the mountain with Harry, and that was fun. And then other places we went, there was this other place that we went. It's called Cherry Springs State Park. Anybody been there? Cherry Springs State Park? It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And one of the things, if you don't know what Cherry Springs State Park is all about, it is known as a dark sky park. It's one of those places where you can go and there's not much ambient light, and so it makes the skies darker, and it's easier to see stars and the Milky Way and constellations and all those kinds of cool things that happen up there. And the thing about it is that you want it to be so dark. Why? So that you can see more things, right? That's the goal, because that's when the lights shine brighter. And we know that's the truth in our lives, isn't it? At times that when things are harder and darker, then it's often then that the light can shine brighter. And there's things that we get to see and we get to experience in our lives for the good that maybe we haven't seen other times. Maybe there's some sort of suffering, hardship, or challenge, and in the midst of it, you find that there is such a greater appreciation for the things in your life that God has blessed you with that maybe you wouldn't appreciate in the same way otherwise. And when I think about the stars, and I was just thinking about this week, there's, of course, that verse that Paul writes to the church in Philippi, that in which he talks about how these believers should be like stars. And so that's what we're to be like, as Paul's encouraging the church there. This is what he said there, that you would be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you would shine as lights in the world. And so this morning, as we look at these few verses, I don't know what this season of life is like for you. Maybe it's one of those dark seasons. We sang this morning about how great is our God, you know, the splendor, and like just talking about his light and how the darkness even trembles at the mention of his name. And the reality is that maybe right now is one of those seasons of life where it's really hard. Maybe the tone of conversations that you hear around you, it's not that nice. You just have to flip on the TV and you can hear that or you see that. Or maybe you're experiencing that with your neighbors or in your workplace or with your friends, whoever it is. And maybe it's a fearful time for you and you're in need of some encouragement of how is it that we ought to live in these kind of days. And the context we know as we've been journeying through this letter is that here Peter is writing to these believers who are facing difficult days. They're facing persecution. They're being seen as outcasts in their communities, in their workplaces, in their families. And Peter's writing them with a pastoral heart, and you can just hear his affection for them. He refers to them as beloved, and he's like, loved ones, I care for you so much. And he's desiring to encourage them in the midst of these hard times to stand firm in the faith and to continue to do good, even whenever it's hard, and to conduct themselves in such a manner that is mindful of the hope that they have in Jesus. And so to point them, he points them towards practically some ways as to what does that look like in these passages that we've just been journeying through. He's addressed to them, what does it look like and how should they submit to their governing authorities? How is it that they should work in the workplace whenever maybe their masters, or to slaves, he's talking to slaves, when their masters maybe are not kind, or maybe they're unjust? How should they respond to them? He's talked about what Christian submission ought to look like and what it looks like in marriage. And so each week we've been coming back to what Peter has said right before he leads into this section in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. Remember what that says? Just flip back and let's read that together, because that sets up all of this for us. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There's this whole dark light theme again going on here. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is really important because he's reminding them that they are a new people, that they are different than who they once were. Once they were not a people, but now they have come together and they've been brought together as a people because of the mercy of God. Not because of any of their own doing, but because of his mercy. And he's brought them together, and that means that as a community, as a people, they have a whole different way of living that's different than their life beforehand. And so he comes through this and he says, "I want you to shine even in the midst of hardship." And here's his instruction that we're looking at this morning, starting at verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you," he's coming to the end of this, he's talked to, you know, governing authorities and how you submit to them. He's talked to people in the workplace. He's talked to people who are married. And now he's saying, finally, after all that's been said, this is for all of you. This is for all of you who are senior adults, those who are middle-aged, those who are, you know, 30s, 20s, the whole way down to teens and kids. This is for all of you. I want you to hear this, he says. No one's getting a pass. He says, be a blessing, because that's what you're called to do. Be a blessing. As we look through just these few verses, he says, be a blessing and love those, your brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, be a blessing to those who are outside of that circle. And then he says, and you want to experience a life of blessing? Then this is how you experience it. And so just want to work through this very briefly this morning. I'm glad I cut back the amount of passage this morning for the sake of time. But he goes and he gives five characteristics that he wants them to exhibit towards one another. He says, unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And so these are the five characteristics that he hasn't just picked at random, but he's picked them on purpose, because this is what he's saying. I want you to cultivate these things as a community. And for us as a church family, we need to be cultivating these kinds of things in how we care for and are a blessing to each other. First thing is that of unity of mind. He says, be a people who are united, have the same mind. What's the mind that he's encouraging them towards? Thus far in this letter, it's been all about remembering who they are. We just sang about that. This is who you say I am. We need to remember that and not lose sight of this. Not only who we are, but whose we are. They are sons and daughters of the Most High who have been brought into the family of God. They are exiles and sojourners who are looking forward to the day of his return. This isn't their home. And so, guys, remember this. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 4, verse 7, if you look right over, what's it say there? It says, this is the kind of mindset that he wants them to have. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. It's with that perspective in mind that Peter is encouraging them to be united. There is no time for disunity. There is much to be accomplished, and his encouragement here, it's not for uniformity so that everybody looks the same, but it's for them to work together in unity. They all have different experiences. They all have different backgrounds. They have all different places, giftedness, skills, everything, and they're coming from different places, and he's saying, I want you to cooperate, and I want you to work together in unity, even though you're all different. I've been watching a good bit of soccer lately as Leah's team is just keeps on progressing through districts, and they made it to the championship, which is Tuesday night, and so I'm watching all this soccer, And just watching what a team looks like, what's a team about, right? They're trying to get the ball in the goal. They have all the players who are on the field, and they all have a different role, a position, and then you got the people who are on the bench, and people who are watching from the sidelines, and they're all a team. Some are cheering on, some are out there running around, kicking, and just playing really hard, trying to win the balls. And they're cooperating and they're working together because they have a goal. They want to get the ball in the goal. They want to keep the ball out of their goal. And they want to win the game. And they're all working together towards that end. And in the same way, church, that's what he's saying. Be unified and be together. The goal is what? You know, we say it here is to help people find and follow Jesus. There's a lot of ways we can say that. We can say the goal is to know Christ and to make him known. We could say that it's all about, you know, wanting for God to get all the glory. But that is the goal of what we are about. And so here, Peter's encouragement is, I want you to be unified and be together. Don't lose your focus. Stay unified in what truly matters. It affects everything, and especially it affects the kind of community that you're going to be and how you bless one another. Don't get distracted by lesser things. Keep your hope in Jesus. There is plenty of divisiveness in our country right now, and it can even creep into and happen in the church. And let's not let that happen. He's saying, be unified. Keep your eyes on the goal, and it's Jesus. And so that's unity, but we want to have unity of mind. And now he goes on to say, I want you to have sympathy. Or I want you to show your love for one another through showing a sincere feeling for and with the needs of others. To these believers who are brothers and sisters, he's saying, don't get hard-hearted towards one another. Show understanding towards each other. Remember what Paul has said in other places to the church in Rome. He said this. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. People are experiencing some great stuff in their life, man, come alongside and feel that with them and encourage and have great joy for them and with them. The same way, if we have a brother or sister who is grieving, we come alongside and we care deeply for them. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, what does he say? Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You know what that's about. He's talking about the members of a body. Like right now, I have this pain in my arm. I don't know what it's from. I think they call it tennis elbow. I don't know. Right here, and it is bugging me, but it is affecting other areas. I think they say it's here, but yet it's feeling it down here. And so that's sort of the same thing. Whenever something in the body is hurt, the rest of it is affected, and we feel for each other. And so be ready to rejoice with each other. Be ready to grieve and mourn with each other. Share both in the joys and the trials. And as we do it, aren't we just allowing the love of Jesus to flow through us? Because isn't that what he did with us? Isn't that his example? In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, it talks about this. And this is who we have in Jesus. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect, he has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. He sympathizes. He understands everything that we go through. He steps in and he feels it with us. And so we're following his example in that. And so let's do that. And as we care for each other, truly feel the needs of each other, just as when one member of the body suffers, we all do. And then he keeps on going. And the next thing he says is in regards to brotherly love. As we look at these five characteristics that Peter is laying out, it's the one that's at the center of it all. There's two, and then there's this one, and then there's two to follow. And it's this one that is at the center of it all that seems to radiate out to the rest of it and hold them all together. It's about having a deep love for each other as brothers and sisters of the family of God. And so don't see yourselves as not being connected, as for you a part of the family of God. There's this love and there's this warmth among believers that ought to be, that is a mark of genuine Christian faith. That's part of what happens whenever we truly understand the grace and mercy of God. There is a love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Over and over throughout the New Testament, this is the characteristic of God's people. As Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. There should be this competition in a sense of like, who can show honor the most, outdo one another, keep on going. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. 2 Peter 1:7, and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. Over and over, it's that reminder to God's people to love one another as family. And so how's your love for one another? How are you loving one another? Next, he talks about this. He's talked about one mind, unified together in purpose. There is sympathy, feel deeply the needs of each other. They're to love each other as brothers and sisters. And similar to the idea of sympathy is this idea of being tender-hearted towards one another. They're to be cultivating compassion and carrying concern for each other. This is how Paul said it to the church in Ephesus. He said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What's this look like? How's this played out? Well, it looks like what Jesus did for us as he demonstrated his kindness towards us on the cross. His willingness to forgive us. He wasn't hard-hearted toward us. He could, you know, it would make sense to some. It's like, man, this person has just disobeyed, rebelled, and done so many things and just turn her back on. Fine, I'm done. But that's not what he was like. He didn't get hard-hearted towards us, but he still was tender-hearted and kind and gentle and compassionate. He didn't hold a grudge and get bitter and become hardened. Remember the invitation. This is one of the greatest invitations. Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, what's the heart of Christ? The heart of Christ is that he is gentle. And he is lonely, and he invites us, and he says, come, come all who are weary and heavy laden. And so how's your heart towards each other? This is really just, you know, this list is a good little list for us to think through, and how is our care for one another? How's your heart towards each other? The word here is translated tender-hearted, compassionate. It has this thing to do with, you know, tender. In the Greeks, it's associated, in the Greek language, this term is associated with inner organs. Like there's this deeply felt kind of thing for others. In 1 John 3:17, John writes this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? If we're not loving each other like this, how is God's love abiding in us? Do you have that kind of heart? Do you have that kind of concern and care for one another? We've received this from Jesus, and it's what he calls us to extend to each other, this kind of love and free grace. And we can only do this with God's help and the Holy Spirit as he moves in us. And then lastly, to wrap up this list of what needs to shape our lives, is this virtue of being humble-minded. It's about putting others first. It's about considering others as more important than yourselves. It's about not being prideful people. It's about more than being courteous, but it's about being the kind of people that put others ahead of yourself. That's what we're called to. Here's God's word says this. Paul writes this in Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion and hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Over and over, that's the story of the New Testament. That's what we're called to. And isn't that what we see in Jesus? We're always looking to Jesus. Isn't that what we saw in Jesus on the night before which he was betrayed? He got there down and he took off the outer garment and he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. What an example as he humbled himself, but he did more than that. He came and he took the form of man and then he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. And so how are you doing with this in your own life? How's humility playing out? Are you considering others before yourself? It's not easy. It's not natural in a sense for us. And so as we look at this list, do you see how unity of mind is tied? As you look at the five, there's the first one and the last one come together. As there's unity, and unity is only possible if there is humility. And then you look at the next one, and there's sympathy in regards to tenderheartedness. Sympathy, it seems like they're really close kind of thing, but sympathy is feeling these, this tenderheartedness or compassion is like taking that a step further to action where we're actually going to get involved and we're going to do something about it. And in the center of it all is this brotherly love which covers it all and holds it all together. And that's what we're called to. But in verse 9, he says, okay, so that's how we're called to love and be a blessing to one another. But Peter doesn't stop there. He says, you know those people who are evil towards you? You know those people who aren't nice to you? You know those people that it's hard for you to love and care for? Those people who are against you? How are you going to respond to them? Because you got some options. Well, you can be nice to the nice people and you can be mean to the mean people, or you could only to those people who are nice to you. But he says, no, I want you to be nice and be good to people and be a blessing to people, whether they are good to you or not. That's what the believers are called to do. There's no holding of grudges. There's no getting back at people. He says, don't repay evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless them. Why? Because that's what you've been called to do. You are called to be a blessing to everybody. We are called to be a people that operate not out of getting people back with what they deserve, but rather being a people who show mercy just as we have been shown mercy. Remember, 1 Peter 2:21, it's in the verses right before this. He says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. He left you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We're to follow in his steps. We are called to be different. Our calling is to be a people who are a blessing, a people who bless each other. And look what comes next as we are a blessing. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. Because by doing so, you're going to obtain a blessing. This blessing that is being talked about, it isn't one that is based on works. But he's saying that these are the marks of a true believer. A true believer is one who is going to be a blessing to others. It's not easy, is it? Whether Peter is talking about how we conduct ourselves with other believers or unbelievers isn't clear, but what we are called to do is the same, that we are to be a blessing. And so how do we do this? We aren't just talking about wishing people well with our words to those who have hurt us, but even more, it means that we're praying for them. We're praying for people who have hurt us and maybe have hurt us very deeply. Like, we're praying for them. We want God to work in their lives. We want them to experience his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his salvation. And so we want to be a blessing to them. We do this by loving one another. We do this by loving our enemies. And now Peter goes on, and as he finishes out just these few verses that we're looking at this morning, Peter quotes from Psalm 34, where the psalmist expresses that even in the midst of difficulties, how the Lord has been faithful and he's protected him and he's caring for all who trust in him. We don't have time to keep on going and look more fully at that. But if you study Psalm 34, you know that this psalmist is in a place where his heart's been broken. He's endured all kinds of affliction and hard things in his life. And over, even though life hasn't been easy, even though there have been great difficulties, yet still he is able to see the goodness of God. As he says, what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And over, even though there's so much pain and there's so much hurt and there's so many hard things, yet he can still have hope and love life because his hope is in God. And how's that last verse end? Because here it is. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so just to wrap this up this morning, here's some questions for us to consider and to reflect on as we apply this to our lives. How are you doing in your love for one another? you know, through the years, what a blessing it has been. Thank you for your encouragement in my life over and over through these, it's crazy to think, 23 years that I've gotten to be a part of this church family. You know, we have been, Kristen and I have been so blessed, and we have been so loved by you. And that's one of the joys, as people ask me about what I love about Devonshire, and it is that, or what, boy, 23 years, that doesn't happen often. I know that, and it is a privilege, and it is because what a beautiful, wonderful people it is that God has brought together here, and how you so graciously love and care for one another. And so that's a testimony to that. And so I just encourage you to keep on loving one another. The next question, is there anything that we're allowing to get in the way of our unity of mind? Is there any way that there's a lack of humility that's getting in the way of us moving towards the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus? What about in regards to showing sympathy? Not only sympathy, but also compassion in our midst. You know, is there a way that we can continue to keep on growing in understanding and taking action towards the needs of others? You know, as we look around, you know, maybe what comes to mind right now is maybe there are some folks who aren't here that you haven't seen for a while, and just maybe God's moving in your heart and saying, bring someone to mind, just to reach out to them. Say, how are you doing? Over the past weeks, I've had opportunity to go and visit and meet with some of the folks who haven't been able to join us at this time, and what a blessing that is for them to, whenever I hear that some people have given a call or sent a card, it's meant so much to them, and you got to know they're longing to be here too, and they really miss the fellowship, but reach out to people. You know, when you hear about their concerns, hurts, and struggles that are being experienced in our midst, let's be a people who step in and pray and genuinely come alongside them. Let's love each other, not just for when things are easy, but even when we've been wronged, let's be a blessing. Maybe that's in your neighborhoods. Maybe that's with your neighbors. Maybe that's in your workplace. Let's be a blessing. Let's be known for that. The Lord never promised this life would be easy, and he never said there wouldn't be difficulties. If anything, he said it would be hard. But even in the midst of all of that, we can know the blessed life as we are the blessing that we have been called to. You know, you just imagine, just for all of us, just to imagine what a beautiful thing it is, isn't it? Or would be, you know, just think of this idea of a community that loves and cares for each other like that. What a beautiful thing. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be that, and so let's do it, and let's shine. You talk about stars shining bright in a dark sky. It's what we get to be as we love and we care for each other, just as Jesus has loved us. And so not only in how we love each other, but even how we love our community, let's shine bright and be a blessing. That's what we've been called to. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for just the opportunity to gather together this morning to worship you. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you have placed us here right now at this point in history for a reason. And this morning, as we hear Peter's words, that reason is that you have put us here right now to be a blessing. It's what you said of your people in the Old Testament, that they would be a blessing to the surrounding nations, which you had called them to, and that's what you call us to be today, now. And if there's ever a time in our history where you need a people to be a blessing and for the good of their communities, now is the time as much as ever. And so, God, would you help us to love each other well? Would you help us to be a blessing even to those who it's hard to love? And Lord, as we walk in these ways, Lord, thank you for the promise, and thank you for that encouragement to know that therein lies the blessed life. In your name we pray. Amen.